Hello. Chapter 11. Chapter 11 is pricing and credit strategies. Chapter 11 may prove to be a little difficult for you for one of two reasons. First, there's a long list of terms. It won't be as bad as it looks at first glance because by having this many, I'll break those into two pages. The first page of terms will include the first 10, starting with price and ending with FOB destination. The second page will be the remaining 11, from markdown through trade credit. At the end of going over the outline, I'll try to go back and scan down that list for you to make sure we cover any that may be problematic. Your other problem in this chapter, or potential problem, is that we will have a couple of math problems, a couple of calculations to work out in this. You need to bring your calculator to this test. None of them will be terribly difficult, but there are a couple of concepts you have to understand only by demonstrating the ability to calculate. Now, again, we'll work through the sections of the outline, topic by topic, and talk about what they mean and give you some understanding, try to highlight the test questions and prepare you for your test. Okay, section one is pricing, art, and science. The first topic is price. It is not really a term, but what is price? It's the amount charged for goods and services. The cost is what we pay for goods and services, but the amount charged for them is the price. There are any number of factors that come in determining what the price is. The text does a very good job on page 363 of listing some of these. You can imagine what they are. My cost, the income of my customers, the image of my product, etc., etc., etc. Good stuff to think about, but nothing that I will ask you directly on the test. Price range, somewhere between a price ceiling and a price floor. The price ceiling being the highest price that I might charge, and the price floor being the lowest price. Most products tend to have some price range that they try to price in between. We can most obviously see this when we think about automobiles or computers. Prices vary a little bit. They may over time be trending down. But if you go to buy a computer with a given set of features, no matter what vendor you, seller you pick, it'll be in some general price range. Section two, we might discuss the idea of image, competition, and value. These are certainly three factors that determine how I'll set my prices. I may want to price higher than necessary simply to keep my image up. Think high-quality restaurants. I may be really influenced by my competition. I may be trying to underprice them, or in the case of those restaurants, price higher than them. And finally, value. What is my product actually worth to the customers? That will influence how much I charge. And that's very much a discussion kind of thing that we do better in class, but I encourage you to read those pages and think about it. When I move to section three, we start to think about the what I'm trying to accomplish and why I may price things the way I do. What are my objectives of new product pricing? Didn't ask you to list them, and the text does a coverage of this from 371, but I would want you to generally understand that when I'm setting pricing, I'm either trying to increase my volume or increase my profit. Now, those may be the same thing, but I may be happy to sell many fewer if I sell them for a lot more money each. So I have to think about that. And I'm trying to maintain my image, either of being low cost or high quality or some fit in between them. Now, one unique type of product pricing situation is when I come out with new products. Imagine that I'm the first to come out with some new item of some type. Some new computer processor or something. There are three approaches that I might take to pricing that. They are, and you will have to name these three on the test, penetration pricing, price skimming, and demand curve pricing. That should be an easy question for you because they are all terms and will be on the list on the page before this question. But let's understand what they mean. Penetration pricing means that I may price low in order to penetrate the market. Remember, we want to penetrate what? The market. Meaning, while no one else is there with that product, I want to get people used to using mine. I may do this with, if I came out with the first citrus-flavored soft drink or the first cola, I may want people to use mine before the competition arrives so they're in the habit of using mine. How would I do that? Price it low to have more people try it. Conversely, if I'm sure competition is coming and they're going to look a lot like me and they're going to be able to compete with me very well, I may charge a high price up front to skim what? To skim profits off the top. So we penetrate markets by charging low prices, and we skim profits early by charging higher prices. What actually happens in the real world? Most people try to do both. They first come out with the product, they charge high prices to gain profits, But as their competitors either start to appear or they feel like they're about to appear, they lower their cost or their prices to gain market share and better to compete with the competition. What happens for the competition? They come in, the prices are already low, they're not able to do the price skimming and make those early profits. So the three methods are penetration pricing, price skimming, and the combined method, demand curve pricing. For established goods, we can use any number of pricing strategies, several of which are listed in the terms that we'll cover when we bounce down that term list in just a moment. But first, let's go to Section 4 and start looking at the first area where we'll have to make some calculations. This is markup. What is markup? It's what we add to our cost to get to a selling price. If I'm buying something to sell at the flea market, I may pay someone $5 for it. I may take it to the flea market and sell it for $10. So what is that difference between $5 and $10? Well, that's what we call markup. And there are two ways I can say that. Let's back up a little bit and imagine that I bought this item for $10 and I was going to sell it for $15. What is my markup? There are two ways to say that. One, I might say my markup is $5. I've raised it from the $10 I paid for it, my cost, to the $15 selling price. So $5 is my markup expressed in absolute dollars. On the other hand, I may simply express that as a percentage of cost. My cost was $10, so I marked it up $5. $5 is 50% of the cost. So I would say that as a percentage of cost, my markup is 50%. So I can express markup either in absolute dollars or as a percentage of cost, not as a percentage of price, as a percentage of cost. And that's important to help us do the markup calculation. You should look in the book, but it's really very simple. What I want to do is I want to be able to give you a problem very much like I said. My cost is $10. I want to mark it up 50%. What is the selling price? To complete that calculation, we take the 50% and multiply that times the cost, and that will give us the $5 that we add to cost to get to a selling price of $15. If I said I want to mark it up 20%, 20% of my cost would be $2 added to my cost, so I would sell it for $12. You will be asked to do several of those calculations, so take a look at that if that's a problem. Just remember that if I tell you the markup percentage, that's the percentage of cost that we add to cost to give us the price. It really should not be difficult. And before that, be able to name the two ways markup is expressed. Absolute dollars, percentage of cost. Now, we look at a manufacturer's pricing in Section 5. They don't like to admit it, but what most of them do is they do what we just described. They take their cost and they add some amount to it to come up with their price. And when they do that, their price is based on their cost. What they would rather tell us and what we as business people would rather say is that our price is established based on the value to the customers. It's a market price. It's the value. It's how much the product is worth. It has nothing to do with our cost. We will make our cost low enough that we can make a profit by selling it. But in the real world, it's often cost plus. Two words from accounting, absorption costing and direct costing, help us understand what cost we're looking at. If I'm a manufacturer, I may only count in my cost the actual cost it takes me to make that product. It takes this amount of material, this amount of labor, figure that up and add it together, and that's my cost. On the other hand, I have a different additional cost of running my business that we will see very soon in the break-even. And these are things like the rent that I pay on my factory building, the salary I pay to managers that are not considered part of the direct cost of each product, but I certainly have to cover those somewhere. So when I'm determining the cost for my product, I may allocate some of those fixed costs, some of those other costs, into the cost of the product, and we call that absorption costing. So direct costing includes only variable costs that vary from product to product. Absorption costing includes fixed costs. And those are important words for us as we get to break even and learning how to calculate that. We often want to ask ourselves in a business, how many do I have to sell not to lose money? And how many do I have to sell to make a certain amount of money? And to know that, we want to know at what point do we break even? Do we have no profit and no loss? Now, there are actually two ways we can express that. We can express that in numbers of units, and we can express that in sales dollars. It's very important to understand that distinction. If you ran a car lot, and I said, what are your sales for a month? You might tell me 15 cars. That's number of units. If you ran a convenience store, and I said, what are your sales for the month? I'm not going to listen if you start describing how many packs of cigarettes, how many cans of Budweiser, how many loaves of bread, etc., how many gallons of gas you sell. What I want to know is your sales dollars. You may say, I do about $30,000 worth of sales a month. Now, that $30,000 is not profit. That's the sales, the revenue. That's how much money customers handed you. So we have to equate sales with the revenue, with the selling price. Sales equal to the number of units times the price each. Now, to understand the calculation here and the problem you'll be expected to complete, think about having these measures, and you may want to jot these down on the paper as we go. Selling price. That's how much I'm going to sell the item for. Variable cost. These change depending on how many I sell, because these are the direct cost of the units. And finally, fixed cost. These do not change with volume. These stay the same. This is like the rent on my building. Now, to do these calculations, let's imagine a situation where I have variable cost, fixed cost, and a selling price, and I have to calculate how many units it takes to break even and what that break even would be in dollars. So let's imagine I'm going to the flea market to sell rubber ducks. Now, these rubber ducks are made by my neighbor. But my neighbor doesn't sell me some quantity of rubber ducks that I have to buy and have to pay for that I take to the flea market and hope to sell. The problem is my neighbor's a little shy. So he will ride with me to the flea market. We will take his rubber ducks in our little tow-behind trailer, and he will sit in a lawn chair beside that trailer full of rubber ducks and allow me to put one on display. I don't have to pay him for one until I sell it. That way, what I pay him for each one is true variable cost. If I sell one, I pay him for one. If I sell 100, I pay him for 100. And that should help in our calculations. So I determine how much I'm going to sell these rubber ducks for. Let's say I'm going to sell these rubber ducks for $20 each. So selling price, SP, is $20. And I have to pay this guy $15 for each one. So variable cost is $15. But at the end of the day, I have a fixed cost. I have to pay the rent on the table at the flea market. Let's say that is $100. So let's go over that again. My selling price is $20. My variable cost is $15. My fixed cost at the end of the day is $100. How many units do I have to sell to break even? Now, every time I sell one, a customer hands me how much money? They hand me the selling price, $20. And I have to turn and pay how much to the man in the lawn chair, my neighbor? $15. So from each one I sell, I have $5 to put in my metal box on the table. Now, that's not profit. It has a name. It's called contribution margin, but that term is not important to us right now. It's simply what I have left over after paying variable cost. The question is, how many of those $5 do I have to have in my box, in order to pay for the table at the end of the day? So I simply take that 5 and divide it into the $100 fixed cost, and it would tell me I have to sell 20. If I sell only one that day, I'm fine with him. I paid him his $15, but I only have $5, so when I go to pay for the table, I lose $95. If I sell more than 20, I'll have $25 bills to exactly pay for the table. Anything beyond that will be profit. So break-even in units is the difference between the selling price and the variable cost divided into the fixed cost. Now, as a formula, that's not hard to understand, but you really should try to understand those words and the meaning. And picture that picture. Customer has me $20, I pay him $15, I have a $5 bill. I need 20 of those $5 bills to cover my fixed cost. So break-even in units is 20. That we can understand. Now, what are my sales dollars? Well, if I sold one unit, what are my sales? My sales are the $20. If I'm at the break-even point, in other words, if I sold 20 units, it will be 20 times my selling price, or the $100. So how do we, again, figure both break-even in units and break-even in dollars? We figure break-even in units by taking the difference between selling price and variable cost, dividing that into fixed cost. Then we calculate break even in dollars by multiplying the number of units it takes to break even times the selling price. That's all there is to it. At that point, you should be in pretty good shape. Now, there are a couple of other items left in the chapter. How do we deal with service pricing? Normally, they charge time and materials. Imagine having your car worked on. Pay labor and parts. Credit and pricing, types of consumer credit. The text does some things there that we don't need to go into or worry about, so you should be fine from that point. I think that will prepare you pretty well for this chapter. Thank you very much. Before leaving this chapter, we should also try to make sure that we're comfortable with the entire list of terms. Looking at these terms, we can start with the, remember there'll be 10 on the first page and 11 on the second page. The first page shouldn't be bad. Price, of course, as we said, the amount charged for products. Penetration pricing, price skimming, and demand curve pricing. Carefully note what they have in common. They're all new product pricing strategies, not to be confused with anything else on this page. Penetration pricing, what do we penetrate? We penetrate the market with low prices. Price skimming, we try to skim profit with high prices. Demand curve pricing is starting out with price skimming to try to earn a profit and then lowering our prices as competitors come into the market to maintain our market share. Odd pricing, this is what we're all familiar with, charging odd prices for that psychological value. Is it really better for something to be $9.99 rather than $10? Psychologically, yes. Charging those kind of prices is called odd pricing. Coincidentally, or incidentally, I noticed that that's changed over time. $9.99 is not good enough anymore. $9.88 is better. $9.77 is better. It's not that it's that much cheaper, but it's more appealing to us psychologically. Price lining. This one we have different levels of pricing. Imagine, I think Lowe's does this. You go to buy a hot water heater, they have their good, better, and best. Different levels of pricing. Leader pricing. Sometimes stores will charge a low price to lead customers into the store. Pick up your weekly grocery ads. They may be selling eggs for 15 cents. It's not that they want to lose money on eggs, but they want you buying your groceries in that store because you're going to buy lots of other items. That's leader pricing. Geographic pricing, just what it appears to be, charging different prices in a different area. Understanding FOB factory and FOB destination that are not in the notes is all about understanding that FOB stands for free on board. Imagine if we were buying a computer for Dell. If Dell told us, well, it's free on board the factory, now it's going to be shipped to us after that. Who do you think is paying for that? We are, the buyer. So if it's free on board factory, the buyer pays for the shipping. Dell could say it's FOB destination. It's free on board all the way to the destination, which is my house. So who's paying for that? That means Dell, the seller, has paid for it. So FO, it's to what point it's free? It's free on board only to the factory. That means that the rest of the shipping remains to be paid for by the buyer. FOB destination means that it's free all the way to the destination, which means the seller is paid for it. We covered markdown a little earlier as we continue down this list of terms, but now let's think about what that, or we covered markup actually. Now let's think about markdown. What is markdown? It's not a percentage of anything, but it's simply a reduction in price. If we cut the price, lower the price, we call that a markdown. Simply a reduction in price. Multiple pricing and bundling. If I sell several of the same item together, imagine a six-pack of drinks, or beer, if you will, we call that multiple pricing. If I combine several different types of items, imagine I bought a travel kit, a men's travel kit that included razor, shaving cream, toothpaste, a small toothbrush, different items grouped together, we would call that bundling. So if it's the same item, several of them, we call it multiple pricing. If it's different items combined, we call it bundling. MSRP, the key to this, of course, understanding that it stands for Manufacturing Suggested Retail Price. It's the price manufacturers would like to see their product sell for, or at least so they tell us. Sometimes it's simply used as a comparison price. They will charge that because they think that's what you would expect to pay from somebody else, and you can get a deal when they charge you less. Where do we see this most often? Imagine the sticker price of automobiles. Markup. Remember what markup is? The amount added to cost to result in price. Absorption costing and direct costing, we covered that difference is whether or not fixed costs are included, which they are in absorption costing. Contribution margin, mentioned that in break even. It's the difference between the selling price and the variable cost. Break even, it's the quantity or the dollars of sales at which point we do not either have a loss or a profit. We simply break even. Installment credit and trade credit. Installment credit is when we allow people to pay for something over time. Trade credit is simply a discount we give people or individuals or companies for doing business with us, for trading with us, as we used to say. With that, I think you'll be in good shape for this chapter. Thank you.